this morning is Psalm 138. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praise unto thee. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. Thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands.
I guess that first song, I put my hands up in the air when it said, I surrender all, and this verse has been taunting me all week. I have no revelation on it. But I said, okay, I'm going to say this verse. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4. Said, yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. And of course, that's the end of the sermon, a five-hour sermon that Moses gave to the people before they came across the Jordan. And That verse and this one in Romans that Paul will reference in the same thing in the 11th chapter. In the 8th verse, he says, "According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day." And honestly, don't know why that has been kind of captured my attention this week. I know it's my prayer that God would reveal it to me, and I'm not necessarily saying it's your prayer. This is a prayer for us to ask God to open up our service today, and may we do that. Father, we come before you to open this hour of worship in honor of you, gratefulness for that you have provided for us with the love, thankful for the love that you bestow upon us, grateful for the mercies that you give us, for that you withhold from us. We know that it is by faith that we come to you, that it is through faith that you show your mercies upon us, and may we be obedient to your call for this hour, that our ears would be open, that we would hear your word, follow your leading, to be the people in your pasture, the sheep in your hand, that we would be the bleeding that you desire us to be afterwards, Father. We ask for your sustenance. You ask us to ask for what we know not of, and that you interpret accordingly. We ask for this hour, and not only for this hour, for the hours ahead and days ahead that you give us. We ask for your continued presence and guidance with Lynn, and as you direct the days of her life, for those of us here that we know not yet where we will wander and what surprises you have before us. We ask for your continued guidance and leading, and that it would those things you set before us would not be anything that we couldn't overcome, because we know that through faith in you that all things we can overcome, and that you will not set those things before us that we can't. And Father, these things we are grateful. We ask for safe travels for those who are visiting, that they will have here for their enrichment during their stay here, and safe travels home. And Father, we certainly ask that as your Son has taught us to pray, to fully understand this prayer, this simple prayer that you have requested us to say unto you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Shall we continue?
Thank you. is overwhelmed, as it were, with serving all of these individuals, tells Jesus, hey, help me out here. You know, this is kind of interesting in a way how Martha goes about this, because she comes to the Lord and she refers to him as Lord. She says, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Seems like a reasonable enough request, right? You're doing some work in the house and that nobody else is helping you, especially your sister. You know, you women who are here, if your sister is with you in the house and she's not doing her share, well, what do? You know, you say, well, come on. You know, you might not say Lord, but you might refer to the head of the house, who would be none other than your dad or something along those lines. Make him or her, rather, help me. And Jesus responds in an interesting way, because he uses Martha's name twice. Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. Whenever Jesus does this, whenever he uses a name twice, we find as we look through the scriptures, for instance, he does this with Peter, Simon, Simon, and he does it, I'm trying to remember where else he did it. He did it in another place as well. I should have probably noted it. But he uses the name twice to actually get a point across, or in this case, as a term of endearment. Martha, Martha. You are worried and anxious about many things. You are overcome with the task or the chore that is in front of you. He says, you're careful and you're troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. And what she has chosen, he says, will not be taken away from her. So as you look at this story, and as you consider this, as you consider Martha, who's concerned about the natural things of this life, and you consider Mary, you have two different individuals. Both are actually doing something good. You know, what we're looking at in this story is not that someone here is actually doing something that they're not supposed to be doing, and someone's doing something that they, you know, should be doing, but rather, they're both doing something that's necessary. Necessary for the current situation in which they find themselves. Martha is actually doing what she is supposed to do. She's supposed to serve these people who have entered into her house. But one of the problems that we have very often as human beings is that when we are serving, if God calls us into service in some way, shape, or form, what we often want to do is start looking around at everybody else, right? That's typically how we go about things. And this is illustrated very clearly for us in the end of John as well. And when Peter is told by the Lord concerning what his calling is, he looks around and says, well, what about John? What's John going to do? And so Martha, as she is carrying out her vocation, as she's carrying out her work that she is called to do, is concerned because Mary's not helping her. Jesus tells her very clearly, you don't need to be concerned, as it were, about these things, because you need to understand that Mary now has chosen the good part. And so not only do you have Martha and Mary, and you're considering these two women, but you're also considering then what Jesus is teaching here. Because what is he teaching? What is he showing us? What is the Bible showing us this morning in what we're reading here in front of us? I suppose you could look at several different things, you know, as you look at this. You could look at maybe being anxious about the things of this life, the natural things, and looking at Mary and saying, well, that's really what we should be doing. We should be seated, as it were, at the feet of Jesus and listening to what he has to say. And Jesus tells us very clearly that that's what we should be doing. Mary has chosen the good part. Earlier on in this chapter, Jesus said something very interesting. He says this, and let me just read it for you as a reminder. For those of you who weren't here, this is the first time perhaps you'll hear it, or maybe you're familiar with this. But listen to these words. Verse 23. Or actually, let me just back up a little. Let me go to verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Mary here is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Jesus, as he declares in his word, has revealed himself to her. He's made himself known. And Mary then, as she now sees the Savior and knows him as the Savior, chooses to sit at his feet and to listen to his teaching. Do you understand the distinction here? Mary, who has been given this revelation by God now, has one desire over and above every other desire. And that is that she would simply hear the word of God. You got to remember who's went into this house. The one who went into this house is none other than the word himself, as John identifies him. This is the word that was made flesh. This is the word of God. And the word of God is declaring the word of God. You understand that? Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to the word of God. Now, when you get up on a Sunday morning, you have a decision to make. Am I going to wander into the living room, pour a cup of coffee, and sit in the lazy boy and stay there all day? Or am I going to get up, take a shower, and go to church? Isn't that the reality? As we live out our lives here, we make a lot of decisions as we go forward in life. We make decisions on a daily basis. But how are we making those decisions? And what are we basing those decisions on? You decided this morning when you woke up that you weren't going to stay in the lazy boy or maybe sleep in or whatever else it might be, but you actually got out of bed and you made your way here to 15275 County Highway 45, Spruce Grove Apostolic Lutheran Church, to listen to the Word of God. And you made a good decision. Not because, you know, I'm telling you something fantastic today, but this is where you come to simply hear the declaration week after week of the Word of God. This is what Mary is doing as she sits at the feet of Jesus. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus to hear that which is eternal. Again, let me reiterate, Martha isn't doing anything wrong. Martha is doing that which she needs to do to serve the ones who are the people in her house, her guests that have gathered in the house. We need Marthas, don't we? Without the Marthas, you know, it would be kind of tough at home. For those of us who don't know how to cook well, at least. We need someone to do this work as well. But we need to be like Mary too. Where we simply gather and listen to what the Lord has to say to us. What he teaches us in his word. Why? Because this is eternal. All of that other stuff is going to fade away. The new potatoes, the corn, the stuff that you harvest out of your garden. You know, all of that's going to fade away. We enjoy it, and it's ours to enjoy. But it's going to be gone. And in the end, we're going to be faced with one thing. We're going to be standing before one person. And that person is Jesus Christ, who now reveals himself to you as Savior and Lord, as the one who has washed away your sins. But when he comes again, he's coming as a judge. As we confess this morning in the baptismal service, I believe in the one who's coming to judge the quick, which means the living, and the dead. And this is who we deal with. But now, in the time of grace, we hear his word. We hear Jesus proclaiming his word. We hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. We see Mary, and we recognize that we want to be like Mary. We want to simply sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what he proclaims to us in his word. Because in his word, he declares to us eternal life. Martha was worried about natural food. Jesus came to satisfy that which natural food can never satisfy. That's why, by the way, Jesus in the Gospel of John says to the woman at the well, I am this living water. Whoever partakes of this water will never thirst again. Later on, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever partakes of this, he says, will never thirst or hunger anymore. In the 7th chapter of the Gospel of John, he says, come unto me, all you who are weary. Well, actually, he says it a little bit differently. He says, come unto me and drink, and I will give you something that will be a river of water flowing out of you. It's the Holy Spirit that he speaks of there. John tells us that very clearly. You see, this is what we understand. The one, Mary, as she sits at the feet of Jesus, is receiving something that no one else can possibly give. And that's why we say, as the church, that there is salvation in no other name under heaven given among men, whereby man can be saved, except by the name of Jesus. And this morning, you have chosen to come to hear more about him. And as I said already, you've chosen a good thing. I was thinking this morning, I think I'm just going to conclude there with that, but I wanted to just share something with you. As I was reading the 27th Psalm this morning, I thought, you know, this is quite interesting because the 27th Psalm is really near and dear to me. The first time I read the 27th Psalm in a service would have been in Worcester, Massachusetts. At a little small church there. Our pastor there at the time was a pastor who actually traveled quite a bit for missionary work, and they needed men to stand up in the church to proclaim, you know, to read the word and to pray and also actually to preach. So one Sunday morning, I was asked to get up and read the scripture reading and do the prayer. So I got up, and I read Psalm 27. They said, just choose whatever you want to read. So I said, I'll look through the scriptures, 27th Psalm. I'll read the 27th Psalm. Read the 27th Psalm, led in prayer. The next time I stood up in that pulpit, I was preaching. Isn't that crazy? What God can do? I had no intentions. When I read that Psalm that morning, I had no intentions of doing this job right here. Never. My intention was to continue on with the construction industry in which I was involved, with framing and running homes and all of those things. I had no intentions of any of this. And then I read a psalm. And God changed the entire trajectory of my life. And that's what we understand. As God makes himself known to you, I'm not saying that this is where he made himself known to me, but as God makes himself known to you through his word, as he reveals himself to you in his word, the only thing that you want, because my desire after that was simply to hear or know the word, which led me to seminary and all of that. But as God makes himself known to you, this is all you begin to want to know. As the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3, as you know, I'm quite fond of, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. A little later he says, I press forward with all of my might that I might know these things, that I might know them. This is what I want to encourage you with this morning. Press forward. Keep up the fight. Move forward as a Christian. Study the Word of God. Go to church. Listen to the Word of God. Be like Mary. Sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. But be like Martha as well. And serve those people who are around you. Serve them. Because one more note on Martha, by the way. It wasn't like Martha, you know, didn't know the Lord. You go to the 11th chapter of John, and I'll tell you, that's your homework. Go read the 11th chapter of John with the raising of Lazarus. And when Martha is asked very clearly by Jesus if she believes what he just told her, I won't read it now because I'm going to close. She says, I believe that you are the one who is to come into the world. She believed in the Savior. May we be found believing this morning and following the one who has saved us, redeemed us, and made us his own. Amen. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you have revealed unto us your word. You have revealed unto us you in your word. That even this day, Father, as we gather in this building, we gather as those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Our sins, Father, have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And we are covered now with the righteousness of your Son. The one, Father, who became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of you in him. What a marvelous gift we have. We pray, Father, that you would help us as we go forward in this life, making the decisions that are necessary to make, that we would do these things in light of your word, that you, Father, would reveal unto us your truth, so that we would move forward into this world as your children, serving those around us and loving you most of all. Ask your blessing over all who have gathered here this day. We ask it for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.